This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, eternal, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, inviting you to stay tuned to hear God's message by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton Sr., on the subject, Man's Responsibility, which is number 163 in this series.
Now there are some evils that you can never lay at the door of Calvinism. My attention has been called to the fact that there is a great difference between the word Calvinist and Calvinism, that which I certainly know. You may be spoken of as a Calvinist and yet may be ignorant of Calvinism. Now, for instance, as I've said, Baptists have a Calvinistic creed, but they have an Arminian ministry. You cannot say that we preach that man is not responsible. Man is responsible. Just as soon as I begin to speak on the sovereignty of God and God's election that flows out from His sovereignty, many will say, well, Brother Sheldon, what are you going to do with man's responsibility? Well, that's what I want you to sit down and let's talk about at this time. Man is responsible. He'll believe or go to hell. Now, man does not have a free will. He is a free moral agent, but it does not have a free will. As we have said, man's will is held in slavery or bondage by his totally depraved nature. Now that's so. Therefore, his will is not only depraved, but it's held in bondage. And he is at liberty to choose only evil. The sinner is responsible to keep the moral law. And his inability, get it now, does not do away with his responsibility. Brother, I'm just not an automatic, and neither are you. I'm responsible to pay my debts, whether I can or not. And God holds every sinner responsible unto Him, whether he's able to meet God's requirements of holiness or not. Sinner, get this one truth. You are responsible. Every saved individual I'm talking to realizes that great truth. One day you lay at the feet of Christ saying, if I don't get to Christ, I'm going to hell. And though you realize, on the one hand, you would go there if God didn't save you, yet you realize, on the other hand, you're responsible. Now, I want you to listen. Let me set forth this great truth. Now you listen. There are two lines of truth that run from cover to cover through God's entire word. God's sovereignty on the one hand and man's responsibility on the other hand. There are individuals who can see but the sovereignty of God, and that's all they see. Then there are other individuals who can only see man's responsibility, and that's all he sees. But my friend, these two great truths, God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, are two great truths that run from first verse of Genesis to the last verse of Revelation, throughout God's Word, and they never conflict. Absolute election flows from God's sovereignty. Both of these lines of truth, God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, are just as plain and definite as can be. And they both run throughout God's Word. The individual who sees only the side of man's responsibility will ultimately be driven to despair or modernism and religious shallowness that produces an empty religious profession without Christ and without life. I wish you could see that thing. I wish you could see it. May God open your eyes. One day I couldn't see it, but thank God He opened my eyes to see it. And so don't you criticize the individual whose eyes God's opened to see it. I'm not criticizing you. I'm praying that God will open your eyes, that you might see it and might understand it. Now, my friend, that's exactly what we have today in the religious world. Now, you get that thing. For the last several decades, in all major religious groups, the main emphasis has been put on the responsibility of man, man's will, man's ability, personal soul winning, decision days for Christ, buttonholing individuals for Christ, getting them into the kingdom, getting them into the church, and on a profession of faith in order to count numbers. What do we have? What's the results? An empty religious profession. Profession without possession. Religion without life. And we are drifting, rapidly drifting, to modernism, which denies the virgin birth of Christ, the deity of Christ, and the verbal inspiration of God's Word. This leads to infidelity, and it leads to rationalism and rank atheism. That's the reason the world today, I mean the religious world, is drifting to infidelity, from infidelity to materialism, from materialism to rationalism, and from rationalism to blatant atheism. Now, that's what we have. No longer does the average church member believe in the infallibility of God's Word and that God lives and answers prayer. Brother, that is what Arminianism has drifted to and is drifting to. That's right. And the slogan is today, let's bring in the kingdom. Let's win the world of Christ. Or Christ is the answer. Or a Christ-centered program, and so on, and so on, and so on. Such catchy phrases are a cover-up which deceives the blinded religious world. Now, that's what you have, and that is exactly what Arminianism has led to. In the days of Christ, the religious world made much of the Word of God and hated Christ. And finally, they crucified him. The religious world today tries to make much of Christ, but they hate the Word of God. They hate it with dying vengeance. There is a rebellion against the Word of God today that we have never witnessed in this world before. This has grown out of a one-sided preaching, putting the emphasis wholly and completely upon the responsibility of man, making man's will supreme. You see what it leads to? Now, all right, let's look at the other side of it, will you? All right, just hold your seat there. Now we're going to jump two creeks. Now the individual who sees only the sovereignty of God, now you get it, the individual who sees only the sovereignty of God and his election drifts to fatalism and cold orthodoxy without life, which produces a self-centered, self-righteous life with no missionary zeal, which is also religion without life. This is what you call and might call hyper-Calvinism, Hyper-Calvinism is nothing in the world but fatalism. And dry, that leads to dry rot. And ultimately leads to the same thing, infidelity, worldliness, a profession without Christ. Hyper-Calvinism and free willism are the two extremes. Both lead to profession without Christ, and both lead to hell and damnation. Now that's right, brother, and that's doubly right. Now you hold that thing, you can drive a stake there and hold it, but the individual who by the grace of God can see and preach and teach both lines of truth as they are taught in God's Word and preach them under the power of God's Holy Spirit can be used of God to bring about a true spiritual awakening which will lead to a new creation in Christ Jesus our Lord. In one place such a preacher may preach the sovereignty of God and God's election over against free willism and emphasize that thing and produce a revival under the power of God's Holy Spirit, and then turn right around in another locality where the sovereignty of God and God's election is overemphasized and preach the responsibility of man and bring about a revival because he understands clearly both sides of the question. Let me emphasize again this fact. Get it now. You listen. The great doctrine of God's sovereignty out of which flows absolute election is taught in God's Word from cover to cover, from lid to lid. Whether you believe it or whether any man believes it. And then on the other hand, man's responsibility to repent and believe the gospel and to keep the moral law is also taught in God's Word from cover to cover, whether you believe it or not. I dare any man to deny it or disprove it from God's Word. You may try to do so by twisting the Scriptures to your own satisfaction. But, brother, God's sovereignty on one hand and man's responsibility on the other are two great truths that parallel each other throughout the entire Word of God. Now, you listen. I have been backed against the wall many times by both groups, but there are the two lines of truth, the whole system of truth through the entire Bible. Runs in two parallel lines. They never cross. They never conflict. These two great truths, get it now, hold it, God's sovereignty and man's absolute and God's absolute election and man's total depravity and man's absolute responsibility run parallel in God's Word. Let me repeat that again. These two great truths, God's sovereignty and God's absolute election and man's total depravity and man's total responsibility runs parallel in God's Word from cover to cover. Now let me repeat again. Get it? God's election and man's responsibility are two lines of truth that never cross. They never conflict. As I look into my Bible, I read, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And brother, that's so. Then I read in my Bible, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And brother, that's so. Again I read in my Bible, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. And that's so. And you don't deny that. To deny it's your own damnation. Then I read in my Bible, and you get this. No man cometh unto the Son except the Father draw him. And that's so. Don't try to get around it. Now you can't deny it. Both are in the same Bible. God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. These truths never conflict except in your depraved mind. That's the only place those truths conflict, is in your depraved mind. That's the only place they can conflict, in the depraved mind of the natural man. I see in my Bible that God is presiding over all His creation and does as He wills and as He pleases, and no man can say nay, and that's so. He's sovereign. God's on the throne, but very few people accept Him on the throne. Again, I see in another place that man seemingly does as he pleases, and that's so. God restrains and makes the wrath of man praise Him. He restrains part of it, then gets glory out of the wrath of man. God turns man loose and accomplishes His purpose through His evil will and purpose. And brother, that's so. Now you say, how are you going to reconcile these two great truths, these two great facts that you find in God's Word? Brother, you don't reconcile them by denying one of them. You don't. You don't. My friend, I'm not going to reconcile them. I don't try to reconcile them. I have sat and I've pondered them, and I've read them, I've studied them. On the one hand, God's sovereignty, out of which flows God's absolute election. Yes, sir. And on the other hand, I've read every scripture in the Bible that goes to set forth man's responsibility, and that's so. And I've tried to look down through time and eternity, as it were, to see where those two great truths led to, until my mind would burn. Then I'd come back to the starting place, and there was God's sovereignty. There was man's responsibility. Right there, the same thing. And so, my friend, by faith, I accept them by faith. I believe them, and I know that they meet somewhere, and they meet at the throne of God's grace in heaven. And there's where they meet. If they meet anywhere, they never cross, they never conflict, except in your depraved mind. That's all. That's all. Now, my friend, I'm not going to reconcile them. I'm going to leave them right there in God's Word, where I found them, and I'm going to preach both of them to the salvation of every soul that believes, and to the damnation of every soul who disbelieves or will not believe. These two lines of truth are as clear as a bell, as clear as crystal. They're in God's Word, and I'm going to preach them to the salvation or to the damnation of souls. One of the two. Life unto life to those who believe. Death unto death to those who reject the truth of God's Word. If you believe, you'll be saved. If you believe, you will. If not, you'll be damned. If you believe, you'll be saved. If you don't, you'll be damned. God never called me to reconcile these truths. When He called me to preach, He called me to preach His Word as it is to men as they are. Who am I to question the God who made me, who saved me, and who called me to preach His Word? Who am I to question my Maker? I didn't write the Bible. God never called on me to write the Bible. That book was written in heaven, and it's just as much verbally inspired as if God would hand it down, handed that book already bound down from heaven. As He stated in 9th chapter of Romans, "Who art thou that repliest against thy Maker? Who am I to try to alter the Word of God because it does not suit my depraved nature?" No. Any man is a fool to try to alter the Word of God. Take it as it is, whether you believe it or not, whether you understand it or not, or whether you like it or not. There it is. There's God's Word, and it'll stay right there. It'll be there when you're dead and in hell or dead and in heaven. It'll be right there when the stars cease to shine and the moon turns to blood, and the sun is turned to sackcloth and ashes. My friend, the Word of God will be right there. You can't change it. All right? Let me state it this way. If we were to declare that man is so free to act as if there were no God over his actions, and that is what the world wants today, they have taken counsel against God Almighty, and they'll break his bands asunder and say, God, you go fishing. We're going to run this universe. Then you'd be driven to atheism, infidelity, and despair. And that's exactly where we're headed today. That's the condition the world is in today, because they've taken God off the throne in their own minds, and they have told him to go fishing. Let us run this thing. And what a mess this world is in today. Men are dying, fainting of heart failure because of what is coming upon the world, according to Luke 21:26. And you see right there, the free a man as a responsible being is fulfilling God's eternal prophecy. If we were to declare that God so overrules all things that man is not free enough to be responsible, then we are at once driven to fatalism. I know very few men today see these two great truths in parallel lines. I know that. God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. But now hold your seat, bud. You listen. No man can understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ until he first has a balanced view of these two great lines of truth, God's sovereignty and man's responsibility that runs through the entire Word of God, or God's election and man's total depravity. If you preach only the free will of man, you drift into Arminianism, which is deadly and has no life and no power to save the soul of any man. On the other hand, if you preach only the sovereignty of God and his election, you'll drift into fatalism and call religious orthodoxy without life and without Christ and land up in hell. That's it. But the individual whose eyes God's opened by the power of his Holy Spirit preaches, on the one hand, the sovereignty of God, and on the other hand, the responsibility of man, the Holy Spirit will use it to blast man out of his hiding place, awaken him to his lost condition, bring him to Christ for salvation, holy of grace, and that will produce a missionary zeal that will carry the gospel around the world to God's elect. Every major missionary movement in the world was begun by a Calvinist. Now, you put that down. I mean a true Calvinist. You go and examine it. Every major missionary movement in the world was begun by a true Calvinist. They were later captured by Arminians. But, brother, every major missionary movement in the world was begun by a true Calvinist. These two great lines of truth in God's Word, as we have said, are parallel. And I don't care how far you may pursue them, you'll find that they'll meet only at the throne of God's grace, from whence all truth doth spring. Let's study these great truths of God's Word. Let's meditate upon them. Let's not try to reconcile them. Let's leave them like they are. Let's preach them to the glory of God. Let's blast Satan out of his hiding place with them. Let's stir the hearts of sinners with them as God moves in his mighty grace. I know the Armenian has tried his best to twist every scripture that deals with the sovereignty of God and God's election to make them of non-effect. I know that the hyper-Calvinists have tried to take every scripture that deals with the responsibility of man and makes them of non-effect. I also know that many who claim to be Calvinists have seen the doctrine and miss Christ. They are great particulars about the doctrine, always talking about the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, but know nothing about the Christ at the right hand of the sovereign God. Do you know Christ? Have you ever lain at the feet of Christ in the dust of repentance as an object of mercy, as a poor lost sinner, realizing that God didn't have to save you? Listen, friend, if you didn't, and if you don't, brother, you're going to hell. Now listen. Have you? Do you know what it means to be there Do you know what it means to know the pardoning grace of God? There is where the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man meets, at the mercy seat, at the throne of grace. There he is. God's sovereign, depraved sinner. If God wasn't sovereign, you'd never get saved. Never would. Never would. Never would. And as God's dealing with you, you say, oh, if I don't get to Christ, I'm going to hell. That's your responsibility. Then all at the same time, you say, if God don't save me, I'm going to hell. There's God's sovereignty. There's man's responsibility. Do you know what it means to lie at the feet of Christ, helpless, hopeless, doomed, and damned, and longing in your heart to know Christ? Do you? And then do you know the pardoning grace of God as he pardons you from all your guilt and penalty of sin? Do you know Christ? Do you know him? I do.
This brings to the close another broadcast of The Voice of Truth. Again, the title of the message was Man's Responsibility, and this is number 163 in this series. This is The Voice of Truth broadcast.